In this season 10 premiere episode of Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska.
He's not a weird looking dog. He's a beaver.
Randy Carnahan discovers to her horror that she doesn't know that much about beavers, and Bruce Miller zips up more than he bargained for.
It's three steps. Unzip, take care of business, zip up. How hard can that be?
Awkward Encounters, up next on Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska. I'm Rob Prince. Welcome to the 10th season of Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska. In today's episode, we have two stories about very awkward encounters that happened in Fairbanks, in which people had to very quickly think on their feet to get themselves out of their tight situations. Our first awkward encounter comes from Randy Carnahan, who shared this story at our February 2024 live event in Fairbanks.
The day that my story takes place was the kind of day in the summer that you wake up and you reach for the shorts and put the shorts on because you know it's going to be a hot, beautiful day. It was that day. It was like the perfect day. And I decided I was going to go for a bike ride. So on the west side of town, there's a bike path that goes along the highway from University West, and it goes under the overpass, comes up the other side, and so you can get to Pegger Road and then over to Farmer's Loop to the bike path there without having to cross much direct traffic. And I love that bike path because it went down along the river. So on this particular day, I'm ready to go, and I've got, you know, I've got my tennis shoes on, I've got my shorts on, my tank top, I've got my earbuds in, and I decided to take this route in reverse. So I had actually gone and done some Farmer's Loop, and I'm jamming out to my music, really best day ever, and I'm coming back, and I go to take that bike path to go under the overpass, and I always like to stop there at the river and congratulate myself for a minute for my outdoorsiness, right? So doesn't matter what kind of shape I'm in, I put shorts on and I went outside and I went for a bike ride. So I'm coming in and I get to the river part, I'm getting close to that, and I sort of stop there for a minute by the river and I'm just so happy with myself. And I get back on my bike and start coming around the curve. And then it's a straight shot that I can see for quite a ways to where I'm gonna go into my neighborhood. And I see a runner coming, and then quite a ways behind him, his dog, who seems to be struggling a little bit. I don't think much of it, but I do know the rules of the bike path. So I wanna make sure I'm over to the right so that this runner can pass me on the left, just like road traffic, I learned. So he gets closer and he whizzes past me and we do the, sup? And he goes on by, and I think to myself, that guy didn't even turn around to see how his dog was keeping up, because the dog is struggling, and I'm thinking maybe he's an older dog. I'm not too concerned. But he's on my side of the bike path. So I've stayed on the right side. This dog is on the right side. And I thought, well, they don't really know the rules of the bike path. So I'm going to pull over to the middle, and that way he has an option to go on either side. And when I pulled to the middle, so did he. Again, he doesn't know the rules. So I pull all the way over to the left, thinking maybe that's the way, you know, maybe he wants to go that way, and he pulls over to the left. He soon gets close enough for me to realize he's not a weird-looking dog. He's a beaver. Now, I'm trying to think. My brain is doing some interesting things. I'm trying to reconcile myself to the fact it's a beaver. It's never seen that. And I'm trying to think of everything I may possibly know about beavers in the wild. Because when you live here in Alaska, you know a lot of things about a lot of animals. You know to not torment the moose. You know a lot of things. But all I could come up with was a picture of a cute little beaver. Right. Chewing on a log, and that's not helpful. So I pulled all the way back over to the right, and so did he. I pulled to the middle. He immediately did the same thing, and now I realize, as he's getting closer, I start thinking this other series of thoughts. Thought number one, beavers are a lot bigger in person than you think they are. which is why I thought he was a dog from all the way back there. Thought number two, this beaver is actually aggressively coming for me. And again, I can't think of anything in my knowledge of beavers that will substantiate this, but it looks like that's what's happening. Thought number three is my shorts and my bare ankle bones. And recalling that beavers have a couple of the big teeth. I then thought about the gorgeous beaver mukluks in my closet at home. Did he know what was the beef here? I'm not really sure. So it became evident to me, in spite of trying every part of the bike path, he wanted to be right in front of me and was coming at me. And at some point, there was a realization we were going to collide. And so my number one immediate goal, thinking quickly on my feet, is don't fall off your bike, Randy. Whatever you do, do not fall off the bike. And my second immediate preventative solution was to lift my legs all the way off the pedals like this and start screaming at the top of my lungs like an absolute girl, right? Sure enough, we did collide. And I felt the front tire of my bike. Hey, it wasn't funny at the time. We'll get to that. The front tire of my bike went over his tail, and I can still remember what that felt like. And then everything slowed down like in the Matrix at that point. When the tire went over the tail, keep in mind, my legs are still up, but I'm looking down to see where those teeth are. I want to make sure my legs are up high enough, although truthfully, they couldn't have gone much higher. Everything slowed down, and he reared up on his hind legs. He couldn't jump. Couldn't do it. I'm thankful to my bike tire for that one thing. But he reared up, and as I was passing him, screaming, and I'm looking at him, and we locked eyes. I wasn't on anything. That really was a thing. And we locked eyes. We looked right into each other's eyes, like in slow motion as this was happening. And I'm sure my eyes were trying to say something like, oh my God, I am so sorry about your tail. I'm sorry. And his eyes were looking at me saying, oh, you're going down. I didn't fall off the bike, but I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. And so when I felt like I was completely off the tail, first tire and then second tire, got him twice. My feet found the pedals again, and I, of course, just started like, oh my God, but stop screaming. There's no one to help you. And I'm pedaling, and I turned around, and he is running after me. Like, do you really think you can outrun me on this bike? But it made it more terrible. I get it that you're mad that I ran over your tail, but I didn't start this thing particularly. So I pedaled all the way, and I'm just about to the part where I'm going into the neighborhood, which should be safety, but I don't know. And another runner is coming, and of course, I, trying to be helpful, screamed at the top of my lungs, "Beaver attack!" He did not give me the sup. He looked at me like there was a crazy lady coming off the bike path. I got home and I locked the door, threw myself on the couch, and you know, my heart was just pounding out of my chest. It was something so unexpected in the middle of a beautiful day. And about a year later, I met a wildlife biologist just through casual conversation and relayed this story. And what he told me was chances are very good that that beaver was rabid. Like, they do not come after people. So I felt justified in running over his tail. That'll teach you. But the long and short of it is, I tried to tell this story a couple of times, just, you know, when you're in settings with friends and somebody says, I got kicked by a moose. And then I would say, hey, well, this one time I was attacked by a beaver. Trying to tell it as a scary story. And of course, everyone would laugh before I even told the story. So I guess just the title of the story was funny enough, they didn't even need to hear it. So I've always been curious whether this was a scary story or a funny story or a little bit of both, and I think you've answered my question tonight. Thank you.
Randy Carnahan. She shared that story at our February 2024 live event in Fairbanks. This is Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska, the Awkward Encounters episode. I'm Rob Prince. Dark Winter Nights is returning to the stage on Saturday, November 23 at 7 o'clock p.m. in Lathrop High School's Herring Auditorium. We've sold out that 1,300-seat venue twice now, so if you don't want to miss this show, you can sign up for our e-newsletter at darkwinternights.com. We make all major announcements through our e-newsletter first, so that's how you can be the first to know when tickets go on sale and all that good stuff. The form to sign up for the e-newsletter, our podcast, and much more can all be found at darkwinternights.com. For those of us who have been to high school, you may have approached it with a similar attitude as I did. Keep your head down and, for goodness sake, don't embarrass yourself. Actually, learning anything was far from a high priority for me. Survival was my top priority, and I certainly feared humiliating myself far more than I feared death. I remember one incident in high school when I saw a friend of mine bending over in the hallway to tie his shoes. I thought it would be really funny to kick him in the butt, so I did. It certainly would have been hilarious had it actually been my friend. Turned out it wasn't. That was not a pleasant moment for me, or him, I imagine. Unfortunately for our next storyteller, the dark spirit that is public humiliation picked his name one day long ago while he was in high school. Fortunately, this all occurred outside of school and before social media existed. Unfortunately, it happened in a very public space, in a very public way, and while he was on a date. Let's hope talking about it helps him with the healing process. Bruce Miller shared this incredibly awkward encounter at our February 2024 live event in Fairbanks.
So, my date happened in March of 1984. I was 16. You know, this was a girl I really had a crush on, and she deserved so much more than McDonald's or Pizza Hut or a movie, right? And so I decided to just blow the budget and take her to the IT restaurant in Fairbanks in the 80s. So, how many in the audience, by show of applause, remember Clinker Dagger, Bickerstaff, and Pets? I am so glad to see that we have a very healthy representation of Boomers and Gen X. Thank you. So, for those of you that don't know, Clink's, as it was known, was a restaurant that was located over in Bentley Mall. So you have Office Max and then that satellite building with Starbucks. It used to be in between those two buildings. And it faced west, so it got the evening sun. And this, it was a great restaurant. It was super popular in the 80s and 90s. And it was basically patterned off of an old English pub, you know, like a medieval pub. And so the servers, the women were dressed in these short skirts and they had long white nylons. They looked like serving wenches. And the men had knickers and they had the tall white nylon socks and they were like pages or squires. And all of them were just ridiculously good looking. And it was just It had a great food, great atmosphere. It was just the place. So I called, made a reservation, and I specifically asked for a booth because it's just more intimate, quieter. This was a first date. I'm trying to do everything I possibly can to just make that wow factor, right? So we go there, and as you walk in, even had a sign up there, Ye Old Brew Pub. And you walk in, there's the hostess, and to the right was a bar. And then she would take you in, and it would be a large open area with open seating, but along the perimeter were the booths. So she takes us and seats us, and our server comes, and we're going all out, so it's appetizers, entree, desserts, everything, the full meal deal. And I gotta tell you, it was a wonderful date. We were laughing and telling jokes, and it was just, it was so easy, it was so relaxed, it's so not what you think of with a high school date where it's just, it was nothing like that. We just were having fun, right? And so we had our entree, and the server came and took our dessert order, coffee and dessert. And right after she left, I excused myself to go to the restroom, and which was back out by the hostess bar. So I go out, go to the restroom, take care of business, and I'm coming back out, and it dawns on me, wait, the hostess bar, we've already ordered dessert. We're not going to be getting anything more. This is an opportunity for me to just look like I'm in charge, I am proactive, I'm going to pay the bill now so that when it comes time, it's just like, oh, no, honey, it's taken care of. We're, it's good. I've got this, right? So, no, it's not. We're not there yet. So I go back and sit down, and just moments after I sit down, the server brings our dessert, and we continue this wonderful date. And I'm not saying that I had picked out our children's names, but I did have a 5-acre parcel of land that I had my eye set on. And I'm going, and we're chatting, and she was talking about something, and then it was just, oh, God. And it just, I felt something off. And I realized my fly's unzipped. I did not. And I mean, this is high school, right? And so any sort of, source of embarrassment is just, You can't survive that. But then it's like, wait, no, wait. I'll just wait. My face is just, keep it cool. Just keep it cool. Be cool. Inside, I'm just like, oh, my God, you idiot. It's 3 steps. Unzip. Take care of business. Zip up. How hard can that be? But here I am, screwing that up. So I'm just biding my time. And then just a stroke of luck, in restaurants, especially like a Friday or Saturday night dinner service, it's loud. And so something happened and it distracted her. And so I'm good. I am back. Yes. Whew. All right. This date is back on track. And one thing I need to tell you about clinks that is very unusual is their cutlery, their dinner service, the plates, the saucers, the mugs were these thick, heavy, pewter things. These things were so stout, you could use a plate as a hammer. Never in the history of that restaurant did they ever have a broken plate, right? And another thing that was kind of unique about, a little different about that restaurant was, you had the open area, the booths, and the kitchen was semi-visible. You could see the cooks, just chest up. You couldn't see what they were working on, but you saw them, right? So just like everything, all good things in life, must come to an end, and this date is concluding. Me being the 16-year-old hormonal-filled, hard-charging ADHD kid, there is no, you know, kind of scoot out of the booth. It is, you're sitting here, now it's time to go. That, I mean, that's just how it works, right? That is when I took the entire... I took the entire tablecloth with me. Everything. I zipped it right on up. Yeah, everything. Just... I'm sitting there, and remember how I told you about those heavy pewter everything? Oh my God, those stupid things hit the floor, and they somersaulted and hit the floor again and somersaulted and hit the floor again, making just the loudest possible noise with every contact. It sounded like a five-year-old on a drum set. And by now, I have dumped almost as big of a load of adrenaline as I have right now, then. And so time has stood still. It is just completely frozen. There is no motion. I'm vaguely aware of the sound, but it is just completely frozen. And I see 6 feet of cloth sticking out of my crotch. I look at my date, and she is just catatonic. Just, she is doing everything to be as invisible as she possibly could. Frankly, I can't blame her. She didn't sign up for this. Neither one of us did. And I look out into all the patrons and the servers, and there was one unifying theme of what I saw that night. Everyone, jaws down, eyes like saucers, frozen. Just millions of images are, you know, embossed in my brain. And I'm 16 years old, you know, and this is not exactly the kind of things we're prepared for. You know, we're not exactly equipped to handle this kind of you know, social phenomena with an event like this. It is, strictly speaking, it is just not in my wheelhouse. And I look at her, and I'm just, oh my gosh. Time is still frozen. But I still realize of how massive of a hole I am in right now, you know? But I just, like a flash, I realize something. I paid the bill. There is nothing keeping us here. We don't have to be here any longer. I just have to figure a way out. So me and my cloth, We've become one, you know, one with my cloth. If you hadn't noticed, you might have figured out. I possibly could have been a little cocky back then. I did the only thing I could do. I grabbed that thing, flipped it over my shoulder, and I wore it like a proud tartan, like I was about to join the Red Hackle group. I was ready to join them, right? So I'm now wearing it. So more importantly, I am mobile now. And I look over, my date is still catatonic. And I'm trying to be sensitive to her, you know, because it's like, I know, you know, she is frozen in fear, she's in heels, she has no idea what I'm gonna do, but I gotta get this out of here, right? So I reached over, and I grabbed her hand, and the one thing I remember doing very specifically was I gave her hand a couple squeezes, you know, and I made direct eye contact with her, just, you know, okay. And the only thing I thought to say as I looked into her eyes, let's go, baby. So I have her in hand, I have my tartan, and we're heading.
I've got her in tow. I'm wearing my tartan. I've got a plan. And we're making our way out. We got to hang a left at the hostess bar, and then we'll be in a direct line with the exit, right? And just as I was made the left and I'm in line of sight, this was very metaphorical, because just as we got in sight, a young couple, they were probably in their 30s, they came walking in, and so the doors opened up. And I mean, it really was that light at the end of the tunnel. It truly was. I mean, it was just fate that this building happened to be situated facing west to get the evening sun so it could direct us out while I'm wearing my tablecloth. I'm walking towards them. She is tucked up behind me. It's like we were one. She is doing everything she can to be invisible. I'm wearing a tablecloth. The guy is there. The woman is on his right. And we made eye contact. I didn't know him. And we didn't say it, but it was just, sup. And that was the extent of it. The woman, on the other hand, she was much sharper. Nothing escaped her eye. The best way I can describe how she was, imagine a tank with a turret on top. And so, you're gonna lose me here, but as she's walking, she, her gaze never wavered for me. It was like a predator. I mean, it was just, we managed to get through the door. I'm bathed in the light of freedom. But then, I'm still not done. The Boy Scout in me came in, and I realized, I paid for the meal. I didn't pay for a tablecloth. And so the Boy Scout here is sitting there fruiting, distorting. And I finally got it off, and I throw the tablecloth on the ground and left it there. I decided they got their money's worth in entertainment from me. And we're free. So we were totally free to walk to my Honda Civic hatchback, get in, drive her home in absolute silence. We did not say a single word. We were both juniors in high school. We did not speak to each other ever again. And even with no form of communication between the two of us, I am quite certain that we had this implicit agreement that this was all categorized under the category of that which we will not speak of. So that was my crazy date.
Bruce Miller. He told that story at our February 2024 live event in Fairbanks. Now, you know, Alaska is a small state, socially speaking, of course. So if you have a female friend who ever told you about a horrible date she went on in high school with a guy who zipped a tablecloth into his pants, we would love to find this woman and get her side of the story. Please, oh please, contact us at darkwinternights.com. Thanks for listening to this Season 10 premiere episode of Dark Winter Nights, the Awkward Encounters episode. Today's episode was edited by myself, Rob Prince. Story consultation by Lori Neufeld. Remember, these are the stories we tell up here in Alaska on Dark Winter Nights. I'm Rob Prince.